By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Musaleen. Amma ba'd, a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. As-salatu was-salamu alayki ya Rasulullah wa ala alika wa ashabiki ya Habiballah. As-salatu was-salamu alayki ya Nabiyallah wa ala alika wa ashabiki ya Nurallah. MashaAllah, viewers of Madinah Channel, welcome to Rise and Shine, our early morning program broadcast here from the UK. I have a beautiful cup of tea in front of me. As with every program, we begin with giving you a blessing of reciting Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Today, the blessing is as such that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said that whoever recites Salat upon me one time, Allah azza wa jal sends 10 mercies upon him. And whoever recites Salat upon me 10 times, Allah Azza wa Jalla sends 100 blessings upon him. And whoever recites Salat upon me 100 times, Allah Azza wa Jalla will write between both of his eyes that he is free from hypocrisy and the hellfire. And Allah will keep him with the martyrs on the day of judgment. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Viewers of Madinah, please, you know, I've said it so many times, I'm going to continue to say it. I'm going to request you, effectively beg you, please spend some time in sending salutations upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, it is such a great blessing. The reward, you know, we keep on mentioning the rewards every single day. And, you know, in this dunya, we're running after materialistic things so that we can have a better life. But if we send salutations upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, listen to the Quran, read the Quran, do the other things that we mention in these programs, then we'll have a better afterlife. And the afterlife is far much longer than this current life. So please make a habit of reciting Durood-e Pak, and who knows, that one extra Durood-e Pak that you recite might make all the difference on the day of judgment. Viewers of Madinah Channel, as I said, you're watching Arise and Shine, and every day, the first package of the day is probably the best package that you can have in any program, the best package of any day, and that is to listen to some verses of the Holy Quran. It's the start of a new surah today, so let's start the new surah, inshallah, and let's listen to these verses of the Quran. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
میں اللہ تعالیٰ کی پناہ میں آتا ہوں شیطان مردود سے.
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم
اللہ کے نام سے شروع جو نہایت مہربان رحم والا.
طاسین تلك آيات القرآن وكتاب مبين
یہ آیتیں ہیں قرآن اور روشن کتاب کی.
هدى وبشرى للمؤمنين
ہدایت اور خوشخبری ایمان والوں کو.
الذين يقيمون الصلاة ويؤتون الزكاة وهم بالآخرة هم يوقنون
وہ جو نماز برپا رکھتے ہیں اور زکات دیتے ہیں اور وہ آخرت پر یقین رکھتے ہیں.
ان الذين لا يؤمنون بالاخره زينا لهم اعمالهم فهم يعمهون
وہ جو آخرت پر ایمان نہیں لاتے ہم نے ان کے کوتک یعنی برے اعمال ان کی نگاہ میں بھلے کر دکھائے ہیں.
اولئک الذین لہم سوء العذاب وہم فی الآخرۃ ہم الاخسرون
تو وہ بھٹک رہے ہیں, یہ وہ ہیں جن کے لیے برا عذاب ہے اور یہی آخرت میں سب سے بڑھ کر نقصان میں.
وَإِنَّكَ لَتُلَقَّ الْقُرْآنَ مِن لَّدُنْ حَكِيمٍ عَلِيمٍ
اور بے شک تم قرآن سکھائے جاتے ہو حکمت والے علم والے کی طرف سے.
اِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِأَهْلِهِ إِنِّي آنَسْتُ نَارًا
جبکہ موسیٰ نے اپنے گھر والی سے کہا مجھے ایک آگ نظر پڑی ہے.
سَآتِيكُم مِّنْهَا بِخَبَرٍ أَوْ آتِيكُم بِشِهَابٍ قَبَسٍ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَصْطَلُونَ
عن قریب میں تمہارے پاس اس کی کوئی خبر لاتا ہوں یا اس میں سے کوئی چمکتی چنگاری لاؤں گا کہ تم تاپو.
فلما جاءها نودي أن بورك من في النار ومن حولها.
پھر جب آگ کے پاس آیا ندا کی گئی کہ برکت دیا گیا وہ جو اس آگ کی جلوہ گاہ میں ہے یعنی موسیٰ اور جو اس کے آس پاس ہیں یعنی فرشتے.
وسبحان اللہ رب العالمین
اور پاکی ہے اللہ کو جو رب ہے سارے جہاں کا.
یا موسیٰ انہ انا اللہ العزیز الحکیم
اے موسیٰ بات یہ ہے کہ میں ہی ہوں اللہ عزت والا حکمت والا.
وَأَلْقِ عَصَاكَ فَلَمَّا رَآهَا تَهْتَزُّ كَأَنَّهَا جَانٌّ وَلَّا مُدْبِرًا وَلَمْ يُعَقِّبْ
اور اپنا عصا ڈال دے. پھر موسیٰ نے اسے دیکھا لہراتا ہوا گویا سانپ ہے پیٹ پھیر کر چلا اور مڑ کر نہ دیکھا.
یا موسیٰ لا تخف انی لا یخاف لدی المرسلون
ہم نے فرمایا اے موسیٰ ڈر نہیں بے شک میرے حضور رسولوں کو خوف نہیں ہوتا.
الا من ظلم ثم بدل حسنا بعد سوء فإني غفور رحيم
ہاں جو کوئی زیادتی کرے پھر برائی کے بعد بھلائی سے بدلے تو بے شک میں بخشنے والا مہربان ہوں.
صدق اللہ العظیم.
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. Views of the channel, that is Surah Naml. We've started now verses 1 till 11. Alhamdulillah, by watching Rise and Shine every day, we're gradually going through the whole Quran. And how long did that take? 11 verses of the Holy Quran, you know, with the translation that was there. And Amir Sunnat requests us to read at least 3 verses of the Holy Quran with translation and commentary on a daily basis. And if we do that, inshallah, we'll see a change in our hearts, a change in our households, a change in our lives as well. So please make an intention, try to read the Quran. We've said it many times before that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, many times he's instructed us to read the Quran. And in his final khutbah, he said, I leave you 2 things. If you follow them, you will never go astray. The Quran and my way. And if we stick to this, then inshallah, our life, our daily problems, the problems that we're facing in our lives and our families, in society, inshallah, as well, it will become a lot easier. Views on the channel, you're watching Arise and Shine. And today we have another topic that is not a disease of the heart as such, because normally we talk about diseases of the hearts, backbiting, these sort of things. But today we're talking about how Islam has changed the lives of individuals. And in particular, talking today how Islam has changed the life of 50% of the world's population. 50% of the world's population. Yes, we're talking about one of the genders of women in Islam, the status of women in Islam. Before Islam came, this is something that we need to understand, that the radical changes, the huge change that came about as a result that is when Islam came. Because you need to understand that what were people's lives like that? How were people living their lives? And when we talk about alcohol, we talk about the fact that at that time, it was normal for people to drink alcohol. Everybody was drinking alcohol and they would have alcohol all day long. And so Islam came along and put a stop to this. And there was an overnight change. And these overnight changes that came as a result of Islam were due to the strong iman and faith that the early Muslims had, and the fact that they were getting direct instruction from the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. With regards to women, before Islam came along, their state was almost beyond comprehensive. You know, you could not even understand how bad the state was. They had no respect. They had no importance in the world. They were kind of like a commodity, in fact. So they were a commodity that were effectively just used. They used to be used to fulfill the carnal desires of people. Women would serve men day and night in different ways. And whatever they would earn after working, they would give to the men. But even then, the cruel men did not esteem the women, but rather they would beat them brutally. There are many instances where it said that they had the nose cut, they had other body parts of them cut, and even they would kill them, and no retribution at all. And after the death of the father, The way sons used to become the owners of the property and possessions that they used to inherit the property, they would inherit this woman as well. This woman was not their mother that they were there to look after. This woman was part of the inheritance and they could do as they wished with her. Similarly, they used to become the owners of his wives and would keep them forcibly as they were female slaves. Women were not allowed to get any share of inheritance of their parents, brothers, sisters, or husbands, nor could they become the owners of anything. They couldn't own anything. This unjust custom was also being practiced in so many tribes of Arab that women used to be kept as prisoners for 1 year. Listen to this. For 1 year out of the home in a small dark hut after they became a widow. So when they became a widow, they were put out of the town. They were put in a small dark hut and they had to stay there for a whole year. And there was nothing in that youth. They used to eat and drinking there, sleeping there. And then what used to happen at the end of the year, camel dung was put in there. And they used to have to rub themselves up against the body of an animal. And they used to put these droplets all over the body. And then the woman used to be paraded during through the town. And she'd be throwing camel droplets here and there to show to people that she had come to the end of her iddah, effectively the period of mourning, if you want to call it. And there were many other cruel customs that took place, which had lots of agonies and troubles and deprived women. They used to really live with great difficulty and remained helpless and powerless for thousands of years. There was no one in the world that could console them and comfort them, nor was there anyone who could listen to the cry for help, nor could anyone show mercy to them until the prophethood, until the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came along and announced his prophethood and announced Islam. And then a whole series of riots came, and inshallah we're going to try and discuss some of them. And unfortunately what we're having today is that in society, when I say society, in certain societies, women are still deprived of their rights. And what we need to clearly understand is that is not Islam. That is that society, and they are wrong. They are not following the teachings of Islam. Be it the rights of a mother, be it the rights of a wife, be it the rights of a daughter. You know, there are still things that are happening around the world, but that is not Islam. And we need to differentiate between that. Islam gave rights to women, raised their status to a status that was unheard of, raised their status to a status where even now in modern day times, we're talking about certain things and we're thinking, whoa, wow, this is the status that women are getting. They were given it 1400 years ago. 1400 years ago, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave our women their rights, their dutiful rights. But before we continue with this topic, we're going to go to the Kalam of the day, inshallah. When we come back from the Kalam of the day, we're going to discuss this topic and give you some of the things that happened before and the changes that were brought about as a result of Islam. Let's go to the Kalam of the day. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
ये एक जान क्या है अगर हो करोड़ों ये एक जान क्या है अगर हो करोड़ों तेरे नब पर सबको वारा करूं मैं आप पर कुर्बान मेरी जान या रसूल अल्लाह فدا کا یا حبیب اللہ ہے آرزو ہماری ہے جستجو ہماری ہے آرزو ہماری ہے جستجو ہماری نبی پہ جائے صدقے نبی پہ جائے واری نبی پہ جائے صدقے نبی پہ جائے واری کہتے ہیں برملا ہم مایوس کیوں پھرے ہم کہتے ہیں برملا ہم مایوس کیوں پھرے ہم سرکار کے گدا ہے کوئی نہیں ہمیں غم سرکار کے گدا ہے کوئی نہیں ہمیں غم کوئی نہیں ہمیں غم قسمت ہے یہ ہماری ہر دم ہے لب پر جاری قسمت ہے یہ ہماری ہر دم ہے لب پر جاری نبی پہ جائے صدقے نبی پہ جائے واری نبی پہ جائے صدقے نبی پہ جائے واری آپ پر قربان میری جان یا رسول اللہ فدا
رنجو علم ہمارے سب دور ہو گئے ہیں ہم ذکر مصطفیٰ سے مسرور ہو گئے ہیں سزا ہے یہ ہماری چھوڑے ہم دنیا داری سزا ہے یہ ہماری چھوڑے ہم دنیا داری
نبی پہ جائے صدقے
آپ پر قربان میری جان یا رسول اللہ خوش نصیب جن کو حاصل ہے ان کی نسبت پاتے ہیں چین و راحت کرتے ہیں ان کی مدحت کہتی ہے دنیا ساری حسرت ہے یہ ہماری ہماری
نبی پہ جائے صدقے
آپ پر قربان میری جان یا رسول اللہ
ہے جستجو ہماری نبی پہ جائے صدقے
ذکر نبی سے اپنے سینے کو جگمگائے دربار مصطفیٰ میں سر اپنا ہم جھکائے ہو اشک ندامت کے آنکھوں سے اپنی جاری
نبی پہ جائے صدقے
آپ پر قربان میری جان یا رسول اللہ
تمہارے ہیں قسمت یہ ہماری ہے قربان دلو جانے کیا شان تمہاری ہے
یہ پنجتن کی الفت اصحاب سے محبت غوث البارا کی چاہت مرشد سے یہ عقیدت محسن یہ جانی ساری قائم رہے ہماری محسن یہ جانی ساری قائم رہے ہماری واری
نبی پہ جائے صدقے نبی پہ جائے واری نبی پہ جائے صدقے نبی پہ جائے واری
آپ پر قربان میری جان یا رسول اللہ
فدا کا یا رسول اللہ فدا کا یا حبیب اللہ فدا کا یا رسول اللہ فدا کا یا حبیب اللہ ہے آرزو ہماری ہے جستجو ہماری ہے آرزو ہماری ہے جستجو ہماری نبی پہ جائے صدقے نبی پہ جائے واری نبی پہ جائے صدقے نبی پہ جائے واری
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah, I hope that you enjoyed that kalam as much as we did here in the studio. Viewers of the channel, you're watching Arise and Shine, the early morning program broadcast here from the Bradford Studios in the UK. And today we're talking about the status of women in Islam. And before the break, we mentioned some of the cruel acts that were taking place at the time, you know, in the Arabian Peninsula at that time when Islam came along. And how women were treated literally as cattle, literally as bought and sold. They were a commodity, they were a toy. You know, even the mother, she was something that was inherited, you know, and she became a slave of the child when the father died. Anything that they earned, they worked for, was given to the man. They had no rights, they couldn't own anything at all. And then, alhamdulillah, you know, Islam came along. And this cruelty and this injustice that was being done to women before Islam, Allah Azza wa Jal sent the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a mercy to all mankind. And he came with the Islamic commandments. And with the blessed arrival of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a unique revolution took place in the whole world. And the sorrows and difficulties of powerless women were overcome. You know, fortune smiled on these unfortunate women when the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came. And it's because of the status, because of Islam, viewers of my channel, that the rank of women who were the victim of cruel men have been elevated so much that they have not only got great status in acts of worship and other matters, but they've also got great status in every stage of life and death, and in every situation. Like the rights of men, the rights of women were also established. Allah Azza wa Jalla sent His commandments for the protection of their rights. Women got the rights of ownership. They became the owner of their money and their mehr. Trade and properties. They were declared the heirs, inheritance of the parents, brothers, sisters, husbands, and sons. In short, the women who were extremely helpless and powerless, humiliated and disrespected and had no status in the eyes of men, became the peace of the heart and became the queen of the homes thanks to Islam. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in Surah Al-Rum, ayat number 21, I give you the translation from Kanzul Iman. He created spouses for you from yourselves, for you to gain rest from them, and kept love and mercy between yourselves. With the advent of Islam, with the coming of Islam, no man can neither beat a woman, nor drive them out of their homes, nor can snatch their possessions or property. But it's become compulsory, viewers of my channel, for every man, from every religious perspective, to fulfill the rights of a woman. And so all of a sudden, with this change that came along, the mercy to the world, to all mankind came along. When the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came and this new light, this new dawn came. It was a real new dawn. It was the first shine of light for women because for centuries, for many, many centuries, they had no rights whatsoever. And as Islam spread, then wherever it spread, it came across other un-Islamic customs. It is stated that when Islam spread as far as Egypt, then there was a governor was Sayyidina Amr bin As radiallahu ta'ala, and he was approached by the people of Egypt and said to them that we have a custom here. And he asked them, what is the custom? And they said, the custom is here that every year we get a virgin girl, we snatch her from her family, we dress her up in clothes, and we throw her into the river Nile. And the reason why we do this is if we do not, then the Nile will dry up. And so it's a blessing to the Nile that we throw in. And Sayyidina Amr bin As radiallahu anhu said, this is un-Islamic, this is against the customs of Islam. This is against Sharia. You cannot do this. So these customs are alien to us. And he forbid it. But then what happened was the river started to dry up. And when the river started to dry up, people started to move away to other areas. And Sayyidina Amr bin As, he wrote a letter to the Amir al-Mu'mineen at the time, Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu, and explained the situation. Now Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu sent a letter back. And he said to him, what you did was right. You stopped this cruel custom. You stopped this cruel custom. He said, but I have this letter here. Put it in the River Nile. And Sayyidina Amr bin As, he opened the letter. And on the letter, Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu, he said that, you're talking effectively to the River Nile, that if you flow by your own accord, then stay still. But if you flow by the accord of Allah Azza wa Jalla, then I do dua to Allah Azza wa Jalla, that Allah makes you flow and the river flows. And the letter was put in the river. And within a short period of time, the river rose to levels that had never risen before. And just think, this was at the time where, you know, they could have succumbed to pressure. Oh no, you know what, the river is going down. Oof, you know, we might as well, get a woman, throw in the river. Because for them, it was a tried and tested practice that for centuries they had thrown women into the river, and as a result of that, the river was flowing. And all of a sudden, we are told that, no, don't do this. And look, the river's drying up. We told you we were right. They could have said this. But no, when it comes to haq, when it comes to the deen of Islam, there is no compromise. Just because the river starts flowing doesn't mean to say we're going to go against the teaching of Islam. And so, not only did Sayyidina Amr bin As radiallahu anhu stop this custom, but when Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu found out about it, he said, yes, you've done right. You should not have allowed this. Good. You did right by stopping this custom. But then he also said to the river that, look, I do dua to Allah that if you flow by the will of Allah, then rise. And the river flow. And this again just shows that wherever Islam spread, it championed the rights of women. It protected women. It gave them the status that they had in Islam. And this is the beauty of Islam. That, you know, that everybody has never been given the right. Everybody has been given the right. And a human being in their life, in our lives, we go through different stages. We go through different stages in our life. For example, when it comes to the sisters, when it comes to the females, at some point in their life, they're a daughter. Then they might become a sister. Then they might become a wife. They might become a mother. They might become a grandfather. And all of these different roles, Islam has given each and every one of them roles a right. The rights of a daughter, the rights of a sister, the rights of a wife, the rights of a mother, the rights of a grandmother. All of these rights have been given to the women from Islam. And inshallah, in the remainder of this program, we're going to look at some of them areas. And inshallah, after the break, we'll talk about the status of daughters in Islam. We'll look at the status of the wife in Islam, the status of the mother of Islam. And you'll realize that Islam gave such a great status. And unfortunately, what is sad to see is that in our society today, many of us don't fulfill the rights of women. Of our daughters, of our wives, and of our mothers. And yet 1400 years ago, these rights were given. And yet still, we're playing catch up. Still, we're not following them right. Still, we're not giving them rights to the women. You know, be it in the sense that you hear of stories where, you know, people will, you know, withhold the inheritance of the daughters because it's going out to the family. What do you mean it's going out? It's going to your daughter. Is she not your family? People have this thing that, oh, you know, just because it's your daughter, then it's not part of your lineage. You know, look at the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the sayings that we have today, which lineage did they come from? They have come from his daughter. Sayyidina Fatima Zahra radiallahu anha, that is the lineage. And yet we do not give anything to our daughters. Look at the way the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, treated his daughter. Look at the way the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, treated his wives. Every aspect of the life of the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is a lesson for us. Every day of his life is a lesson. Every minute of his life is a lesson. Every saying of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a lesson for us. It's teaching for us, it's guidance for us. Every example of his life is there. And yet we still do not follow. And then we wonder why we're having the problems that we're having today in society. And it's because we're not following the teachings of Islam. We're going to go to a small break now, inshallah. We're going to go to the reminder of the day. And inshallah, when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about the status of daughter in pre-Islamic times. And then the status that Islam brought for her. Let's go to the reminder of the day. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Do you know that when we meet our friends, our acquaintances, we should remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in such gatherings as well. Perform dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal. Recite Al-Quranul Kareem. Why? Because this is a sunnah. Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi Rahmatullahi Alayhi states in Mir'atul Manajih, reciting Al-Quran al-Kareem at the time of meeting your friends is a prophetic sunnah, meaning reading the Quran and listening to the Quran in that gathering. And he writes that this is still a tradition that is followed by the Arabs. So across the world, wherever Muslims are, we should try to implement this. Our gatherings shouldn't be devoid of dhikrullahi azza wa jal and tilawatul Quran. Sometimes all we hear in the gathering is laughter, shouting, raising voices, people mocking each other. No, we should recite Al-Quran al-Kareem, allow mercy to descend on that gathering. Inshallah, this will give us a stronger bond. It will help us to strengthen our iman. And above all, it's a sunnah. And reviving a sunnah entails great reward.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Viewers of my channel, you're watching Rise and Shine. And today we're talking about the status of women in Islam. Before the break, we talked generally about how Islam raised the level of the status of Islam, of women in Islam. But then we also mentioned the fact that, you know, a woman has different stages in her life. She's a daughter, she's a sister, she's a wife, she's a mother, she's a grandmother. And Islam gave each and every one of these a special status. When it comes to before Islam, then when it comes to daughters, they again were treated very, very cruelly. And sometimes they were buried alive as soon as they were born, because in that barbaric time, the birth of a daughter was seen as a cause of embarrassment. At times when someone would find out that a baby girl had been born in his home, he would not face people for many days, contemplating what he should do with this matter. Should I bear the disgrace? He used to think to him, should I bear the disgrace of bringing up the daughter, or should I bury her alive to save myself from embarrassment? This was a thing. Can you even imagine that people used to bury the daughters alive? Bury the daughters alive? There are instances where the daughter was being buried and she would be putting her hand out the soil and she would hold on to the father's finger. Astaghfirullah, I just cannot even imagine a father being able to do that. And Allah Azza wa Jalla actually mentions it in the Quran. He mentions it in the Quran. He states in Surah An-Nahl, part 14, and when one of them receives the glad tidings of a daughter, his face turns black for the day and he remains seething, hiding from the people because of the evil of the tidings. Will he keep her with disgrace, or will he bury her beneath the earth? Verily, evil is the judgment that they impose. Can you imagine that at that time, in that time, people used to do this? In that time, people used to bury their children alive. But even at that time, where there were stone-hearted people, there were people that realized it was wrong. There were people that actually realized that they were wrong, and they used to be grieved at these powerless baby girls, and people used to try and save them. It is stated that when the cousin of Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Faruq Azam, and the father of Sayyidina Sa'ad bin Zayd, radiallahu anhu, Zayd bin Amr bin Nawafil, would know that a baby girl had been born at the home of such and such person, and he wanted to bury her alive, he immediately would go to him, and he would take the responsibility of bringing up her up and the expenses of her marriage. In this way, he would save the little child from being trampled before it blossomed. Same was the practice of a blessed companion. He came to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I have saved approximately 360 baby girls from being buried alive in the pre-Islamic era. And I gave each father 2 10-month pregnant she-camels along with 1 he-camel. And he said to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, will I get the reward for this? Allah, but listen to the answer. Will I get the reward for this? And imagine, what would the reward be for saving the lives of 360 children? The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you've already been rewarded, that you were given the faith, that you were given the iman, that you were given the deen of Islam. Allahu Akbar. If only we understand the value of the deen of Islam, if we understand what great blessing we've got, we don't value our deen. That the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is your reward, that you are a Muslim. Allahu Akbar. I know it's going against the topic, but what is the value that we have of our deen, the value of our iman, that Allah has blessed us? Yeah, we cannot thank Allah Azza wa Jalla that Allah Azza wa Jalla has made us Muslims, that Allah Azza wa Jalla has given us the deen. The majority of people that are watching this program, now we're born into the deen of Islam. We didn't have to make any sacrifices. We were born, and within hours, minutes, the azan was read in our ears. A week later, the aqiqah was performed. How fortunate are we? And then there's those people that in today's time have accepted Islam, reverted to Islam. They are the ones that even today are making sacrifices. The majority of us haven't made any sacrifices. What sacrifices have we made? We were brought up in that Islamic household. And because we've had something for granted, so to speak, we take it for granted. We've had it free, effectively. Because we've had it free, we don't value it. We don't realize how fortunate we are to have this deen. How fortunate we are to have this deen of Islam. And we look at our pious predecessors, the sacrifices they made, the struggles they made, so that they could come. When they became Muslim, the struggles that they faced. And even in today's time, people that accept Islam, yes, they are facing not the same. I'm not going to say the same. They face same struggles that the pious predecessors of the people of the past faced. But even today, people are facing them struggles. But the majority of us, we've had it easy. And here we're being told that the reward, Allahu Akbar, for saving 360 girls is the deen of Islam. But even today, in this era, you know, we don't hear of people burying the children alive. But unfortunately, in one way we do. We hear of when people find out that the future child is going to be a girl, they abort the baby. Abortions are taking place when they find out that it's a baby girl. Not a lot of difference, is there? And then when a girl is born, we're not happy. We feel sad. And not only do you feel sad, but the whole community says, oh, the daughter. And then when they have two daughters, oh, you're only having daughters. And it puts so much immense pressure on the mother to have a son. What control does she have over it? She doesn't have any control of whether it's going to be a boy or a girl. And yet she is blamed for it. Oh, that you're only giving daughters. You're only giving birth to daughters. And you even hear that, you know, like the tradition that when a child is born and people celebrate and they're happy and they give sweets out and all these sort of, when a daughter is born. No. What is this? Is this an Islamic custom? Is this with the traditions of Islam? No, it's not. And so when we hear these stories of where a child, you know, is being aborted because it's a female child, when a baby girl is born and they're not celebrating, they're not happy at the birth of the child, but they're happy at the birth of a son. When, you know, when they push down that child. I remember going to some place once and I was shocked that they said to us that we eat, the men eat, and whatever is left over, we give to the women. And I said, if there's nothing left over, well, they don't eat. What is this? This is not Islam. This is not Islam. So these cruel practices, they may have changed, you know, a little bit in certain ways, but in essence, they're the same. In essence, they're the same. We're not burying our children alive. We're not letting our child to have its first breath. We abort that child and not letting that child have its first breath. What is this? This is not what our deen has taught us. This is not what the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came when he gave the status to the daughters in Islam. I'm going to read you some hadiths, some sayings of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then you will understand the status of the daughter in Islam. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the one who has a daughter and he does not bury her alive, and nor does he consider her to be a disgrace, nor prefer his son to her, Allah azza wa jalla will make him enter paradise. How hard is that? People have to worship Allah azza wa jalla all their lives. And through the mercy of Allah, they attain paradise. If you give the rise to your daughter, then the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I'm not saying, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying that you will attain paradise. In another hadith, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, do not call daughters bad. I have daughters too. Undoubtedly, daughters are very loving, sympathetic, and very affectionate. Allahu Akbar. You know, there's a saying I heard once, many, many years ago, an English saying. A son is a son until he gets a wife. A daughter is a daughter all your life. That love, that compassion, that caring that the daughter will have for you, she will always have it for you. Whereas the son, his compassion, his love is then transferred. And that daughter is there. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, daughters are loving, daughters are sympathetic, daughters are very affectionate. But we don't give them the time of day. Even little things, when it comes to buying gifts, we buy better gifts for our sons than our daughters. Even when it comes to taking our children out, we'll take our sons out to better places than our daughters. We'll feed our sons better than our daughters. We'll clothe our sons better than our daughters. We'll give education better to our sons than our daughters. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the one who brings up three daughters or sisters in a way that he teaches them manners and treats them with the kindness until Allah azza wa jal makes them independent, i.e. they get married, Allah azza wa jal makes paradise wajib for him. Upon hearing this, a blessed companion asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if someone brings up two girls, the beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, same is the reward for him. The narrator said, even if a people had said, asked about one girl, the beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam would have said the same about him. So if you treat your daughter with kindness, you teach her the manners of Islam until she becomes independent, i.e. that she gets married, until that time, while she is your responsibility, then Jannat is wajib for you. Jannat is wajib for you. Allahu Akbar. You know, how hard is it to attain paradise? And yet the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying this. Allahu Akbar. The beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that when a girl is born at someone's home, listen to this. When a girl is born at someone's home, Allah azza wa jal sends angels to his home. They say, O people of the home, may peace be upon you. And then the angels cover the baby girl with their wings and moving their hand over her head say, it is a weak being that has been born from a weak being. Whoever takes the responsibility of bringing up this weak being, the help of Allah Azza wa Jal will be with him until the day of judgment. The Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, viewers of my channel, has not only highlighted the status, the real status of a daughter through his blessed sayings, but he has also taught us the same through his character, that how a person, how a wise father should treat his daughter. It stated that when Sayyidina Fatima radiallahu anha would come to the beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would stand up. He would stand up and taking her hand in his own blessed hand, he would kiss it and he would seat her on his blessed seat. Likewise, when he went to Sayyidina Fatima radiallahu anha's house, she would stand up and take his blessed in her hand and she would kiss it and request him to take her seat. Can you imagine now when the daughter walks in the room that we stand up for her? That we give her a hug? That we kiss her forehead, kiss her hand? Can we even believe that happens nowadays? Unfortunately, in many houses it doesn't happen. I know of many children that have said that our father, our parents have never ever kissed us, never ever hugged us. And what do? Do we show compassion to our children? Do we show compassion? We don't even, let alone showing compassion to our daughter, we don't even show compassion to our sons. Today we are talking about compassion of kindness to our daughters. We don't even give it to our sons. And this again, I keep on stressing this. This is not the teachings of Islam. So when people don't show compassion to their daughters, when people take the rights away of their daughters, when people don't give the inheritance to the daughters, when people don't give the education to the daughters, when they don't give the things that are necessary for the daughter's upbringing to them, when they don't treat them equally when it comes into clothing and clothing, when they don't treat them equally, then this is not Islam. This is not. These are some weird customs that have crept into the culture of where people are living that are Muslims. And these cultures, these customs have been coming through generations and they are there now. And they've got no base whatsoever in Islam. If you hear of anything and you think to yourself, you know what, that sounds a bit cruel, that does. Then I guarantee you that when you go to Darul Iftah and you ask the scholars, you'll find that it's not Islamic. Islam is not about cruelty. Not about cruelty to any person in any status of his life. Be it a baby, be it a boy, be it a girl, be it a child, be it a brother, be it a sister. Be it a husband, be it a wife, be it a mother, be it a father, be it a grandfather, grandmother, whatever your status in life is, and as you go through the stages, Islam is never cruel to you. You know that in societies, as we go through the ages, we see that in certain societies, non-Islamic societies, only in the last century maybe, in the last two centuries were rights given to women. And nowadays we're talking about women's rights. Islam gave them rights 1400 years ago. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought about this revolution, brought about this light that shone across the globe, that give them the rights. And we need to understand that. We need to realize that our women, our daughters, our sisters, our wives, our mothers, all of our female, our aunts, our aunties, even they have rights. Yes, they have rights as well over us. All of them have rights, if only. And you know, if you study Islam, and you see the rights that are given to every person according to their status. And like I mentioned, the child, the son, the daughter, the brother, the sister, the elder brother, the younger brother, the elder sister, the younger sister, the wife, the mother, the husband, the father, the grandmother, the grandfather, the auntie, the uncle, all of these different stages, the state, the thing that have been given to them. If you study Islam and you think that if everybody was to live like this,
how much peace we would have in Islam, how much comfort we would have in Islam, what the society, the community would be like, it would be far better than it is today. Everybody would live in peace. Everybody would live in harmony. Everybody would live in a happy state. And the reason why we're having these problems in society, the reason why we are facing the difficulties in society, you can come up with any problem, but when you come up with a problem, you need to take it back to ground zero, to basically the base. Where is that problem originated from? Why are we facing this problem today? And if you go back and trace it all the way, it'll come back to the fact that we are not living our life according to the teachings of Islam. If we live our life according to the teachings of Islam, that problem will disappear, that problem will disappear, that problem. They all come back, and this, the trunk, is the teachings of Islam. We won't have them problems. Islam prevents them problems. Islam is not only the cure of problems, but Islam is the prevention of the problem in the first place. And if the problems that we are facing today is because of that. So viewers of the channel, we need to study our deen. We need to study the rights of every aspect. Today we're just talking about women, but every aspect, deen has given us the guidance there. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given us the guidance about how a father should be, how a son should be, how an elder brother should be, how an auntie and uncle, their rights that they have over you, how the foster mother, their rights. Yes, the rights of a foster mother and a foster father as well. They have rights. This is the beauty of Islam, that all of these people have been given rights. If only we were to give them rights. We think by withholding the rights from our daughters, we are being clever, we've been successful, by not letting them have the inheritance, by withholding that and thinking to ourselves, no, I just want to give it to my sons. But when the share comes to them withholding, you think you're being clever? You think you've been wise by keeping that wealth in your family and not giving it to that part of the family? Yes, she's still part of your family. You have no right to do this. And we need to be worried of this, that one day, viewers of Munchan, you will face Allah. Allah will judge you on that day. If you think you are clever in this dunya, you think you are powerful in this dunya, you think you can usurp the rights of somebody in this dunya, that day will come. And on that day, you'll have nobody to hide behind. On that day, your power, your strength, your wisdom, your intellect will have no value whatsoever. On that day, your actions will be looked upon. What deeds did you perform? How did you live your life? How did you treat people? What rights did you steal from people? How cruel you were to people? How oppressive you were to people? And in this dunya, you got away with it. You won't get away with it there. The viewers on the channel, please wake up. Maybe I've gone off the topic. I do apologize. It sometimes happens when I'm talking. I start going off. But I need to stress this point that we need to understand the rights that we all have in Islam. Each individual has these rights. And we need to come to know about these rights. And when we know about these rights, then there'll be peace and harmony in our society. Viewers on the channel, we're going to take a small break now. We're going to go to the hadith of the day. And inshallah, when we come back, we're going to continue with this topic. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Dear viewers of Madani channel, the mercy of the Rasul of Rahmah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was astounding. The Messenger of Allah was once resting on a journey. Ghawrath bin Harith then came and took the sword of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and removed it from its sheath, intending to martyr him. Now when the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam awoke from his sleep, Ghawrath said, "O Muhammad, who can save you from me now?" Now listen to the reply of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, subhanallah. He replied by simply saying, "Allah." Ghawrath was overawed when he heard this, causing him to let go of the sword that he was holding. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then picked it up in his sacred hand and asked, "Who is there to save you from my hand now?" Ghawrath began to plead, saying, "Only you can save my life." The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, subhanallah, again the mercy comes into happening. "Let him go and forgave him." After this incident, Ghawrath returned to his nation and said, "O people, I have returned after meeting with such a person who is the best of all humans on earth." Dear viewers of Madani channel, these incidents highlight how our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would treat everyone, every single person from child to adults, with love and compassion, as well as not become angry with anyone due to personal reasons. No matter how personal anything got, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was always kind. But when the boundaries of Sharia were breached in front of him and the divine laws were disregarded, signs of anger would become visible upon his noble forehead. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, anything personal to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not matter to him. But when the boundaries of Sharia were disregarded, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would get really, really angry. We must take care and all do good deeds and please the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive our sins for his sake. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Viewers of Muchanan, today we're talking about status of women in Islam. And before the break, early on, we mentioned generally that Islam brought about a revolution in the lives of women. A new dawn came with the advent of Islam. Rights were given to them that were never heard of, never even dreamed of before Islam came along. And before the break, we also mentioned the rights of a daughter in Islam. And unfortunately, like I said, that even in today's society, we see things happening that are not Islamic. And they may be put under the guise of being Islam, that, you know, it's my right to treat my daughter like this. It's my right that my daughter has to do this. But Islam has given them rights. Islam has given our daughters rights, our wives' rights, our mother's rights, auntie's rights. All of the female relations have rights. And what I said before the break was that, you know, as Muslims, if we came to know the rights of all of the individual relations that there are in Islam, and we fulfilled them rights of everybody, then we would see a huge change in our society just by fulfilling the rights of the individuals of their status, the status of a child, a boy, a girl, a daughter, a son, a brother, a sister, elder brother, elder sister, younger brother, younger sister, wife, mother, husband, wife, you know, father, all of these rights. You know, when you come to know these rights and live your life according to them, then you will have comfort in your household. Before the break, we talked about the status of the daughter in Islam. And now I want to talk a little bit about the status of mother. Now, the mother, again, is something that is such a huge person, a huge status in Islam. Yes, such a huge status that possibly nobody else can achieve that status. She has the status of the fact that, you know, paradise lies beneath her feet. This is her status. And, you know, we see that a woman, she is the one that throughout her life, for the sake of her children, she bears so much. You know, all of the difficulties of childbearing, child rearing, all of them difficulties were sleepless nights, not being able to, you know, the health deteriorates, the life completely is now, the child is their life, everything, they abandon the whole life and focus everything on that child, everything is given to that child, everything with the upbringing of that child, all the suffering, the pain, everything is given to that child. But even then we don't give the state to our daughter. We don't give them the state to our mother. We don't give her the status. We don't respect her. You know, we just think it's her job. It's her job to do this. You know, it's your job. It's a job, not a job. You know, yes, it is the right that she has to fulfill, but we should respect her for that. The love and compassion that a mother gives, nobody else can give. You know, you can have many wives, you can have many daughters, you can have many sons, you can have many husbands, but you can only have one mother. You can only have one mother. And that status that woman has, that mother, your mother has, you know, we are told that just looking at your mother with happiness, with, you know, in a glance of happiness and showing her, you know, you can earn the reward of one accepted Hajj. Accepted Hajj. Now you may think to yourself, I've done Hajj. I may have done it 10 times, I may have done it 20 times. Can you guarantee that any of them were accepted? Can you guarantee that any one of your Hajj were accepted? No, you cannot. But the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, if you look at your parents with love, you'll get the reward of one accepted Hajj. And then when they were asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if we look at them many times in a day, 100 times in a day, then you get the reward of 100 accepted Hajj. Allahu Akbar. And you know how hard, how expensive, how difficult it is to perform the Hajj and then
You're not sure whether it's accepted or not. Allahu, this is the status of your mother, that looking at her in love. It is stated that a person came to the beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam and humbly said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who deserves more good treatment from me? Who deserves more good treatment from me? The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, your mother. He then said, and who after her? And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, your mother. And again he asked, and who after her? And again said, your mother. Three times the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, your mother, your mother, your mother. Who deserves more from me? Your mother. Who deserves more from me? Your mother. And after them, after them, after them, your mother. And after the third time, three times the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, after this, your mother, after this, your mother, after this, your mother. And then finally the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, your father. This is the status that the mother has in Islam. Viewers of my channel, we've got a guest, mashallah. I remember speaking to him a couple of days ago. I've got the blessed opportunity to speak to him again, mashallah. Hafiz Noshada, all the way from South Africa. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
MashaAllah, mashaAllah. Hafiz, how are you?
Alhamdulillah, ala kulli hal. And how is Khalid bhai?
Alhamdulillah. Remember me and your du'as, brother. MashaAllah, today we're talking about the status of women in Islam. And as we all know, Hafiz Sahab, that with the advent of Islam, with the coming of Islam, a whole revolution took place, a whole new change in people's life changed. You know, this dawn of light appeared across the whole globe, in which the status of Islam, the status of women, was changed overnight. But one thing I've realized is that Islam brought about this status, but in many cases, we're not fulfilling this status. We were not fulfilling the rights of women.
What's important is that there's a huge lack of proper, authentic Islamic knowledge that is missing from many of our lives. Now, if I learn that, how do I fulfill rights of the next person, let's say my spouse or my parents, if I'm not even sure what those rights are, yeah. I'm not even sure what my responsibilities are. So it all boils down to what Dawood Islam is trying to promote, which is seeking of knowledge, empowering us with authentic Islamic knowledge. Once I learn, okay, these are my rights and responsibilities as a husband or as a wife, as a mother, as a father, as a child, as a neighbor, then I proceed to fulfill those. And we see that one of the main reasons, and I think you touched upon this, one of the main reasons of the breakdowns that we are having in relationships is that a violation of the rights of the next person. That I need to know, I need to understand that what are the rights and what are the responsibilities, and then move to fulfill those. We as Muslims, you know, if we know our deen, we will realize how beautiful our Islam is. What beautiful teachings we have. If we go back a little bit, 1400 years back, and we look at the era in the contemporary civilizations, like the Roman Empire, the Persian Empire, before them, the Greek Empire, the Egyptians, and so forth. How did they treat their women folk? What was the status of their women in society? And then we can really appreciate what Islam has done, what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has done in uplifting them. And as a mother, as you rightfully said, at which other institution teaches this kind of thing, that Jannah lies under the feet of your mothers?
Yes.
That as a daughter, subhanAllah, when you come home with some sweets, you give your daughter first. That as the spouse, as a wife, subhanAllah, that what he said about the spouse, that, you know, that we have to be kind and gentle and compassionate. And like this, Islam gave them rights, gave them responsibilities as well, that, you know, elevated their status, that no other institute even today has these kind of teachings, that, you know, they have a share as an inheritor, as an heir. Way back in the days, they were treated as chattel, as goods. Yeah. But Islam gave them that these opportunities, gave them these freedoms that today people are discussing and debating about. So we need to empower ourselves firstly with authentic Islamic knowledge about the rights of individuals, and then apply those rights. And one of the biggest lies, you know, I have to say this, because every so often, even today, certain Western psychologists are saying, according to them, one of the biggest lies that are being taught to young girls, 18, 19, 20 years old, that the most important thing in your life is your career. There's nothing wrong in having a career. I mean, Sayyidina Khadija radiallahu anha, she was an exceptionally wealthy individual. I mean, other Sahabiyat as well. But, you know, we need to confine that within the boundaries of Sharia. How would I know that if I don't have knowledge? So it all boils down to knowledge and understanding. What is the status of my mother? What is the status of my father or each individual? And then fulfilling those rights as well.
You know, Hafiz Ab, you basically mentioned there that we need to know the rights that we have to fulfill. I mean, my question is why is it that we know the rights that we have to fulfill to get nationality in a certain country? Why is it we know the rights that we have to fulfill to be able to get a passport, a visa, or to be able to get tax credits or income support, or all of the, we know all of the rights and we'll read up on them and we'll spend hours and hours studying the internet of how I can get nationality. How can I call my spouse over? How can I get my children nationality? We study this for hours and hours and hours, yet we fail to acquire the knowledge of those rights that we need to fulfill with each other.
Because priorities are not in order. I understand as a Muslim, what is my priority? My priority is to learn my deen so that I can worship Allah Azza wa Jal properly. And part and parcel of learning my deen is to learn what it means to be a Muslim, how to live as a Muslim. Because the sunnah is not just rituals. The sunnah is actually a complete and comprehensive way of living. It's a lifestyle. You know, you're going to compare the best, which is a sunnah, to the decadent lifestyles out there. What am I going to choose? So priorities. Many people have their priorities mixed up. We're talking about Muslims now. So if as a Muslim, I put my priorities in order, my deen is first, my Allah and his Rasul, Azza wa Jalla wa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is first. Before I take the next step, before I take the next breath, I need to ask the serious question, does my Islam allow this or not? Does my Allah and his Rasul, Azza wa Jalla wa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, allow this or not? Before I make the next deal or take the next step. And these priorities are unfortunately largely mixed up.
You know, talking about the status of the rights of people, but in general, do you not think that sometimes what happens is Muslims, they'll rather than acquire that knowledge because they're scared of acquiring that knowledge because they think, you know what, if I find out, then I'll have to act upon it. For example, you know, I've got a biscuit in front of me and I'm thinking to myself, well, they put it here, so it must be halal, I'll have it. But if I go away and I have a doubt in my mind that maybe it's not halal, but I don't want to go and check because if I check and I find out that it's haram, then I can't eat it. So ignorance is bliss. Maybe is it not the case that with a lot of our Muslims, when it comes to a lot of these things, be it the rights of each other, but be it in all religious aspects, that we think ignorance is bliss because if we don't know, then we don't have to act upon it. So it's better not to find out. It's better not to go on a way and acquire this knowledge. It's better not to find these things out because if I know about it, I'll have to act upon it. You know, isn't this kind of a bit of a mentality that we have as well?
Ignorance is no excuse on the day of judgment. What answer am I going to have? And I'm going to be called out for accountability and judgment, what answer am I going to have that I didn't know? Why didn't I know? I mean, in today's time, at the touch of a button, you know, information, so many things are readily available. Scholars, ulama are there. Mubalighin are there. I mean, these study cycles of Dawud Islami are there. Balighan, Balighat classes. So much is facilities are available at our convenience, even online. What excuse will I have on the day of judgment? Because ignorance is no excuse that I didn't know. Why didn't I know? You know, if I don't know that, if I admire the fire and I don't know, I don't want to learn that fire burns and I go towards the fire, what's going to happen to me? Ignorance is not going to save me. I'm going to get burnt. So I'd rather protect and save myself so that I don't get burnt by the fire of the hereafter. But it's a mindset thing, Huzoor. You change your mindset and you change everything. And subhanAllah, I can tell you that this is what Dawud Islami helps us to do, to change our mindset, to realign ourselves with the teachings of Islam. Because ourselves, and we know so many others who come from that liberal, modernist backgrounds, and Dawud Islami removes those veils that are created by maybe society, maybe by the media, social media, etc. It removes those. And when you remove the branches and you see what's behind, then you see the reality that I need to prepare for the akhirah. I have to learn what needs to be learned. My fard ulum, my obligatory knowledge, this is necessary upon me. Because are going to be transferring this to the next generation.
I think that word that you use there is very important. Obligatory knowledge. Farz knowledge upon you. That is obligatory upon you to acquire that knowledge. It's not something that if Islam is a hobby, you know, Islam is something that you want to learn about, Islam, but it's obligatory upon every Muslim to acquire that knowledge. And I think that's very important that people understand this.
And you know, I can tell you myself, I never heard about this concept before. Fard ulum, obligatory knowledge. I never heard of it. And this is one of the blessings of Dawah Islam. I mean, it brings all these things in the front. Then there is something that, you know, which is fard ulum, which is knowledge which is necessary that every Muslim male and female has to learn. There's no choice in that. Certain matters I have a choice, and other matters there's no negotiations. I mean, there's no choice in learning how to perform your salah correctly, fulfilling the rights of each other, because when we violate each other's rights, it leads to a breakdown of relationships, and then there can be dhulm and oppression. These things are accountable in the hereafter. There's punishments for these things. Even hurting the heart of another Muslim is a major sin. And we see, we hear the taunts today. We hear backbiting is prevalent. Jealousy, ill feelings, ill thoughts. It's, you know, so much is out there. What am I doing on an individual basis? What am I doing to reform myself and then work on my family? And this is where the structures of Dawah Islami comes into play to help us, to hold our hand, to give us that guidance, to empower us in reforming ourselves, our family, and as many other people as we possibly can.
JazakAllah, may Allah Azza wa Jalla reward you for your time, and I hope that we can benefit from the Madani pearls that you've given to us. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi
wa barakatuh. MashaAllah. Viewers on the channel, you're watching Arise and Shine, and that was Hafiz Noshad all the way from South Africa. We're going to take a small break now, and it's one of those breaks that a lot of our younger viewers look forward to. And they request that we have this as a package on a daily basis. We don't always have it on a package on a daily basis, but today we've got one, and that's one of the cartoons of Dawah Islami. I mean, today it's the Kaniz Fatima cartoon. So let's go to the break, inshallah. And when we come back, we're going to continue with this topic. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Kaniz Fatima, good girl. Kaniz Fatima, everyone loves her. She is truthful. She strives the wrong and enjoys the everyone loves her. She is truthful. She strives the wrong and enjoys the right. Kaniz Fatima, good girl. Kaniz Fatima, everyone loves her. She is truthful. She strives the wrong.
Where's the answer gone? Hold on, let me just shut the window. Bye-bye. May Allah protect you. Yay! Wow! Oh! Wow, that's wonderful. Once more, let me fly it. Oh, wow, how nice it is. It's so much fun.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Qul huwa Allahu ahad, Allahu samad. Lam yalid wa lam yulad, wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad.
Brother Ghulam Rasool, why did he stop recitation of the Quran as soon as he entered the house?
Unity remains in the house by reciting Surah Al-Ikhlas, Qul Huwallahu Ahad, after entering the home, and it brings blessings in the sustenance. Anyhow, I came for a reason. I'm gonna put sacred papers in the box. If you have any kind of sacred papers in your room or anywhere, could you kindly get them for me, please?
Alright, Brother Ghulam Rasool, I'll just have a look.
Jazakillahu khaira.
Yay! Let me make another one.
Huh? Oh no! Raika, what have you done? You ripped so many pages of your notebook. I wasted all of them. Look at this mess. May Allah Almighty forgive us. Raika, this is not nice. It's really bad.
Hold on a sec, sis. Let me explain. This was my rough notebook, which was full. That's why I asked Mum to buy me the new ones. This notebook was of no use at all.
Raika, remember one thing. Whatever we write in our notebook, We need to make sure that we respect it and honor it.
Because remember, all those things that become a means of teaching us knowledge, we should give them all a lot of respect. We should make sure that we don't throw them on the ground and waste them and disrespect them in this way.
But sis, there's no hadith or any verse of Quran written on it. It was just a rough notebook.
Raika, whatever we write in our notebooks, regardless of whatever language it is in, we should make sure that we fully respect it. And in particular, we need to make sure that we don't disrespect sacred papers at all in any state.
That's fine, sis, but first of all, tell me one thing. That what is meant by sacred papers?
Raika, all such papers that have the verse of the Quran written on them, or any part of it, or any name of Allah, or a name of any of the prophets, or of the awliya, or any such thing, or any such name. Respecting which is obligatory, meaning first upon us. Every such paper is known as sacred paper.
Astaghfirullah. This is truly, really bad. Please forgive me, sis. I'll not do this again in future.
Jazakallahu khaira. May Allah Almighty grant his steadfastness. Ameen.
Thumma ameen. But sis, what is steadfastness?
Okay, Raika, let me explain you what steadfastness means. Steadfastness means to remain firm on any action, work, or intention that you make. Like right now you just said, that you will never do this again, ever in future. So I made a dua for you to Allah Almighty that, may Allah Almighty enable you to remain steadfast on the pious intention that you just made.
Ameen. Sis, what about my notebooks?
Yes, Raika, don't worry. I told Mum about that. She's just making a list of things to buy right now. She will add that in as well.
Jazakallahu khaira.
Brother Ghulam Rasool, here you go.
Brother Ghulam Rasool, where are you taking this?
Raika, I'm going to put this sack of sacred papers in the sacred paper box that we have on our street.
Sis, why not sell these papers to the guy who buys second-hand papers?
No, Raika, I've seen on these papers that there are many respectful and noble words and sacred names written on them. It is not right and appropriate to sell them as you have just suggested.
Did you see? There's Bismillah written on it. We should make sure that we respect these sacred writings.
The final messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam has stated, the one who picks up such a piece of paper from the ground, which has Bismillahir Rahman Rahim written on it, out of the respect of Allah Almighty will include him among Siddiqeen.
Siddiqeen? What is meant by Siddiqeen?
Raika, Siddiqeen are those people who tread upon the path of the prophets alayhi wasalam with sincerity.
Instead of doing this to the sacred papers, we should try and gather them and put them in the sacred paper box. And for this purpose, Darul-e-Islami's boxes of sacred papers are the best option for us. Because they have a proper system in place, from the point of collecting the sacred papers to disposing them respectfully according to Sharia.
Dear children, if you ever come across any such paper on the way, or you see any such thing on your way which contains any sacred words, or any verse of the Holy Quran, or any hadith written on it, then make sure to pick it up. After that, clean it properly and ask an elder person to put them in the available boxes of sacred papers in your locality with utmost respect and reverence. Jazakallahu khaira.
I'm sorry.
Kaniz Fatima, good girl.
Kaniz Fatima.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Viewers of the channel, you're watching Arise and Shine, and that was the Kaniz Fatima cartoon that a lot of our children love. But also the messages in these cartoons are not just there for the children. They're presented in such a way that our children can learn, also our adults can learn as well. So as parents, whenever we get an opportunity to watch these, sit down with your children. I watch them with them, and you know, the messages that are in there, explain them to the children, you know, discuss them with the children, inshallah, you will learn something as well. It's not just for the children, it's for all of us. Views my channel. Today we're watching on Rise and Shine, we're talking about the status of women in Islam. And so far we've covered the status of the daughter, and we mentioned a little bit about the status of the mother. There was an incident that took place in Sayyidina Bayezid Bistami Ramadullah Ta'ala that he once his mother requested him. It was quite a cold, dark night, and his mother requested some water for him. He went and got the water and came back. And when he came back, he saw that his mother had gone to sleep. And he didn't want to wake his mother up for the water, nor did he want to go away
and maybe that his mother would open her eyes and look for the water, and the water wasn't there. So he stood there. He stood there the whole night with a glass of water in his hand, waiting for his mother to wake up. And what happened was, during the night, his hand slipped a little bit, and water came out of the glass and ran down his fingers. And it was so cold that the water turned to ice, and his fingers stuck to the glass. And in the morning, when his mother woke up and he took the glass away from his hand and gave it to his mother, the skin came away from his fingers, and you know, blood began to pour from his fingers. And the mother, being the mother, she's seeing blood coming out of the hand of her son. She said to my son, "What has happened here?" And the son said that, you know, mother, you know, he related the whole story. And the mother, she said, "Oh Allah," she raised her hands and said, "Oh Allah, I am pleased with him. You should also get pleased with him." The dua of the mother. How many of us can have that dua, that our mothers, our fathers are happy with us? Would they do that dua for us? And the question comes back to is, why would they not do that dua for us? Because we've not made them happy. We've not made them comfortable. We've not looked after them. We've not given them time. We've not fulfilled their rights. And because of that, then, you know, successful is he who gets that dua. But if a father or a mother, you know, says that, "My son, my daughter, I'm happy with you. May Allah Azza wa Jalla be happy with you. My son, my daughter, I love you." What beautiful words a son or a daughter can hear. But number one is do we live our lives in such a way that we want to hear them words? Do we value them words? Do we crave for our parents to say to us that, "Ya Allah, I love him, you also love him. Ya Allah, I am pleased with him, you also be pleased with him." Do we crave them words? Do we want to hear them words? And if we want, and if we don't want to hear them words, then there's something wrong with us. That we do not understand the status of our parents. We don't understand the status of our mother. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Woe to him whose parents achieve an old age, and through them, that person does not attain paradise." Meaning that them parents, they are an opportunity for you. They are your golden ticket to paradise. They are your opportunity to attain paradise through serving them. And woe unto him who has them old parents, still doesn't attain paradise. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, "Woe unto him." So this is the status of our parents. If only we can understand that. But in the same way that Islam gives status to the mother, also we've given status to the daughter, but also status to the sister as well. And again, in previous times, they were not treated well as well. They were extremely very harsh and poor treatment, and they were not given it. And even in today's society, we see that, you know, sisters are not treated well. Sisters have the leftovers. Sisters don't get the rights that the brothers get. We know what the things that the brothers get. In households, like I said, I've seen it with my own eyes, that brothers will eat, and then what's left over, the sisters will eat, if there's anything left over. Again, this is not Islam. Making the brothers the protector and honor of the sisters, the beloved Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "The one who has three daughters or three sisters, or two daughters and two sisters, and he treats them well and keeps fearing Allah regarding them, that person will attain paradise. Or rather, another place, by bringing together the blessed four fingers, this glad tidings has been given. Such a person will be with me in paradise like this." The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "That person will be like this with me in paradise, if he treats his sisters well, if he treats his daughters well." The beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam treated his foster sister, Sayyidina Shima radiallahu anha, in such a way that he stood up for her, spread his blessed chadar, and then said to ask for her. He said to ask me, "Whatever you want, you'll be stored, make intercession, your intercession will be accepted." Allahu Akbar. During this unique act of kindness, tears were flowing from the blessed tears. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "If you want, you can live with us with respect." When she was about to return, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave her three slaves and one female slave and one or two camels. And also when he met her again at Maqami Jirana, he gave her sheep and goats. Maintain ties. Many, many times the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us, maintain ties with your sisters. Sayyidina Jabir bin Abdullah radiallahu anhu, he married a widow. He married a widow. He could have married a young woman. He married an old widow. Why? For the sake of looking after his seven or nine sisters, for the care and the upbringing. because he realized the importance of the upbringing of the children, and that's why he gave them that right. He made sure he fulfilled them rights. Nowadays, we don't see this. Nowadays, we don't see anybody fulfilling these rights. And finally, the status, you know, time is against the status of our wives in Islam. They have a status as well. Allah Azza wa Jal says and has commanded husbands about their wives and deal with them kindly. And deal with them kindly, Surah An-Nisa, ayat number 19, deal with them kindly. And we are told that when you see something in your wife that you don't like, because it happens, we human beings, we interact with each other, the people that have things about me you don't like, things about you that I don't like. But when you see something in your spouse that you don't like, don't focus on that, focus on the good things. Okay, they're not right at this. You know, they leave their socks lying around, or they do this, they make a mess, or whatever it is, whatever little thing it is, and in most cases it is something insignificant that you don't like. But focus on the things that you do like. Focus about the good things on each other. Look at the positives in each other. You know, the wife needs to have that care, needs to have that love, needs to have that protection. That is her right that you to give them. And Islam teaches us this. Islam gives the right to the wives, gives the right to the daughters, gives the right to the mothers, gives the right to the sisters. And like Hafiz Nashad said, that it is our duty, it is obligatory duty. One of the most important things he said today was that it is obligatory upon us. We cannot hide behind the saying, ignorance is bliss. And like he said, there was a time where people used to travel hundreds of miles, thousands of miles to hear one saying of the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, a click of a button, a few buttons there, it's all in front of you. It's all in front of you. So this obligatory knowledge of how to treat each individual person in your life, our deen guides us on this. And today we're talking about the status of women in Islam. And one thing I want to finally add is, we talked about the status of the daughter, we talked about the status of the sister, we've talked about the status of the mother, we've talked about the status of the wife. Islam gave them all rights, rights that were unheard of in pre-Islamic eras. And to be honest, in a lot of societies up until very recently, and even maybe in some societies right now, are still unheard of. But unfortunately, in Islamic societies, some of these pre-Islamic practices are still taking place. And we as Muslims need to be able to differentiate from what is right and from what is wrong. And these non-Islamic practices, they're not our deen. And we should avoid them. We should try and stop them. There are many, many things that I've heard of, and these weird practices that are happening even today. And I think it's very important, because unless we have that knowledge, and it's because of the lack of knowledge that these un-Islamic practices come into our society. Because we do not know the rights of each other, then we make up the rights of each other. Because we do not know what Islam tells us, then we make it up and bring it in to suit our needs. Yeah? To suit my needs, to suit what's good for me, we'll bring this in. I think this is what we should be. I think that's what. Who are you to think? Don't think. Islam tells us what we should be doing. So instead of bringing these rights into it, we need this knowledge. And that's why, like Hafiz Saab said, obligatory, 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 obligatory knowledge upon all of us to acquire this. And like he said, Dawah Islam is here to provide that service to you, to provide them tools to you, to empower you with this knowledge so that you can protect your rights. You can protect the rights of your family, the rights of your neighbors, the rights of your relatives, the rights of your sons, your daughters, your wives, your mothers, your sisters, your husbands, your wives, your sons. All of these can fulfill them rights, but you need to know what they are. Acquire that knowledge of the deen. And so I've said it many times before, there's a saying, you can take a horse to water, you cannot make the horse drink. All we can do is try to make you thirsty for that knowledge, to make you understand that you need to acquire that knowledge. Acquire the knowledge of the deen. There are many, many books. Go onto our website, www.dawahislami.net. There are many books there talking about how to acquire knowledge, the diseases of the soul. Keep watching Mother Channel. Keep watching programs like this and learn from this. Learn these programs, these events that took place that we mentioned to you before, they're not there so that we give you a good story, they're there so that we can learn something from it. So I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla that we all acquire the fard ulum, we all acquire the obligatory knowledge, not only aspects of treating how we treat each other, but in every aspect of our life. The obligatory knowledge of salah, fasting, the obligatory knowledge of marriage, the obligatory knowledge of divorce, the obligatory knowledge of business, all of these, right? All of this knowledge, we need to acquire it. And if we acquire this knowledge of the deen, we can live in peace and harmony. You've been watching Arise and Shine. But until the next time, keep watching Madri Channel. Sallu alal Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by
the grace of Allah.
Even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun